Okay, according to our producer, Ryan Thrower, we are ready to do this. Is the audience ready to do this? Heck yes. All right, welcome to the endurance capital of the world, Auburn, California. My name is Dylan Bowman. I'm one of the founders of Free Trail. We're going to consider this sort of a live taping of the Free Trail podcast. Are there any listeners to the podcast in the audience here? At least a few of you. Thank you very much. How many people racing this weekend? Yes. Incredible. Well, thank you for joining us. Of course, it's not about me. It's about our guest here, the man of the hour, Mr. Adam Peterman, 2022 Canyons 100K champion, 2022 Western States 100 champion, 2022 long course trail world champion. Adam, good to see you. Welcome back to Auburn. How are you feeling, buddy?
Hey, thanks, Dylan. Great to see you again after, it's been about 3 weeks since we saw each other in Missoula.
Yes, it was. It was very nice of you and Aaron to welcome us to your hometown for us to document a day in the life. And so if you haven't watched the video, you should go check it out. We went up to Missoula. Ryan, our guy here, produced a beautiful video about it. If you haven't watched it, you should. We'll probably talk about some of the things that we documented that day. But here we are back in Auburn, and it feels like you're back ready in peak form. Adam Peterman, that we all know and love.
Yeah, thanks. It's been, I got injured about a year ago, got a stress fracture in my pelvis in about May. So it was a few weeks after Canyons. But yeah, it's just been a long recovery, but I'm super happy to just finally be racing again. It's been, I haven't done like a really, really competitive ultra since November of 2022. So it's just great to finally be back here and about to line up again.
And competitive it will be again here this weekend. We'll get to that in a sec. Before we do, a big thank you to Hoka for making our coverage of Race Week possible. Of course, Hoka, the title sponsor of the UTMB World Series and a big supporter of the whole Golden Ticket Chase, which of course we'll talk about here today. The title sponsor of the Western States 100 as well, and also the sponsor of our good friend Adam Peterman here. Just so everybody knows, we're going to probably wrap out up here for like 30 or 40 minutes or so. Just talk about Adam, his training, his recovery from injury, his goals for the weekend. And then we'll probably leave some time at the end for some questions. So if you have questions for Adam, do just file those in your brain and we'll get to those here in just a little while. Adam, back to the video. It starts with a beautiful footage of you running up Mount Sentinel, the local test piece in your hometown of Missoula, Montana. And the voiceover is you saying, "I just really didn't want to be a flash in the pan." Talk about that psychology and, you know, the feeling of like wanting to be in this sport for the long term.
Yeah, I felt like when I started trail running and ultra running, I'd been following it for a while. You know, my assistant coach in high school was a professional trail runner for the North Face, and he'd done really well at UTMB multiple times. His name is Mike Foote. And so I knew about the sport, and I feel like I'd seen it like time and time again, where you have this great athlete and they win every race they do for like a year or two, and then you don't see them anymore because they're hurt or burnt out or whatever. And so when I started doing these types of races, I remember speaking with Mike Foote about this and like talking how to train and like avoiding doing really high volume and things like that. And I felt like I was on the right track to not be the flash in the pan. But then there I was on like kind of on a heater in 2021 and 2022. And then just to have this like abrupt stop in 2023 with the injury. It's never been a goal of mine to just like cook it while it's hot. I've wanted to do this for a long time because it's such a fun lifestyle. So yeah, I was pretty disappointed that happened in 2023 because I really didn't want to be that flash in the pan.
That's why I wanted to start, because sometimes greatness and longevity are incompatible. And you did start so successfully, potentially like the most successful start of a career in ultra running history. And as you were saying, you know, sometimes in sport, to be great at that level, you have to commit fully. You have to make sacrifices. And sometimes one of those sacrifices is the longevity of your career. So maybe going a little bit deeper on that, like how do you balance, you know, being one of the greats, being capable of winning races like the Western States 100 while also balancing it with the goal of having longevity as an athlete?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess, like, when I started doing ultras in 2021, I guess I'd never intended to so quickly accelerate towards doing the 100-mile distance, but it just kind of happened. You know, I was doing the races I was excited about. I ran Canyons in 2022, and I had the option to either, after I won Canyons in 22, I either had the option to run Western States or CCC. And to me, I just wanted to come back and do Western States. And so, you know, yeah, like, I'm trying to think of how to answer this the best way. I was just so excited about Western States. I did it, and maybe looking back, that wasn't like the best choice for the long term, but I wouldn't take that back. You know, winning Western States was the coolest experience of my
life.
You'd
have to give back your Cougar. You can't take that back. Come on.
Yeah, but I do feel like now that I'm in this injury's in the rearview mirror, like in 2023, I think I did some things that I hadn't done before. I started tracking my training more based on hours per week versus miles per week, and I was incorporating much more cross training, like cycling, skiing, those types of things into training. And looking back, I think maybe that's where I bit off more than I could chew. So it wasn't necessarily like the running volume that led to this injury, but it seemed to me like I was just too focused on just hitting this. I was trying to hit 20 hours a week all the time, and that was too much. So I think now that I've learned these lessons, I'm hopefully on the right track again of doing a sustainable volume that hopefully can lead to me having good performances for a while, but you never know.
And what a great lesson. And sometimes those lessons come with pain. And we'll talk about that in a sec. But first, you probably remember this, but at the finish line of the Western States 100, it was the day after you had won the race. You and I were sitting in the Hoka tent, and I was just chatting with you, and I was like, bro, like, this is going to change your whole life. And you shook your head. You're like, God, I know. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. In what ways did winning Western States change your life, or did it?
Yeah, it definitely changed my life. I mean, it's just so crazy. I always say this, but like, I didn't expect that to happen. I was just excited to do that race, and I thought if I finished that I would maybe be top five or top three. So to have it happen was just like a total surprise. But then I was talking about this the other day, but like, then I line up for the World Championships in Thailand in 2022, and suddenly I've gone from this guy who's been flying under the radar to like being the favorite. And I feel like it's changed my life in that sense. You know, like, I go to these races and there's like a lot more pressure, but at the same time, I know how I handle under pressure, and I just have to shake it off my back and not get too worked up about it, because that's how I roll.
It's interesting to say that you didn't anticipate that you were going to win Western States. And for those who've been around the race for a long time, we know that there's sort of a great history of champions of Western States for whom it's taken multiple tries. Off the top of my head, Rob Krar, Timothy Olsen, Ryan Sands, of course, Jim Walmsley, Casey Lichtai, all have won the race, but for a lot of them, it took multiple tries to do it. You did it on debut. And from memory at that race, the thing that we were all so impressed about was, you're 26 at the time.
Yeah.
Just was the maturity with which you executed on the biggest stage in the world. What gave you sort of like the confidence, yet the humility to race in that style? Was it just that you weren't thinking about winning?
Yeah, honestly, I think it was helpful that I wasn't just focused on the outcome the whole time. I really was just trying to gauge my effort. Like, I early on in the race, I just kept asking myself, like, is this a pace I can sustain for 15 hours? Is this a pace I can sustain for 100 miles? And early on, like, I let a lot of guys go. And it wasn't like I was way, way back there, but I think up the escarpment, I'm maybe 10th, something like that. I'm into sixth place by mile 40. And I don't know, I just never really thought of it as a really competitive race until about mile 50. And then it all started to sink in, and that's when I moved into second and just like got a lot more competitive fire. But yeah, if I end up do qualifying for Western States again, I think I'll definitely take those lessons with me. I mean, you have to really respect the distance. And when you're ready to roll, then strike. But yeah.
Okay, so then after Western States, like you just mentioned, you won the world championship. So you're on an absolute heater at that point. Everybody's talking about the undefeated start to your ultra running career. Things have been rocky since then. For those who haven't seen the video, or maybe those who don't follow as closely, maybe say a few more words about the specific injury and the severity of it. Because, you know, it's for those who aren't familiar with anatomy in the same way that a lot of runners are, they may not understand the significance of a sacral stress fracture.
Yeah, so I got, I got diagnosed with the sacral stress fracture in May of last year. So your sacrum is like your lower spine, kind of where it meets the pelvis. But you see this injury a lot in like marathon runners, like really elite marathon runners, or people who are running like a very high volume. But often when they're trying to run fast, you see it with those people. But if you go back in time even farther to, I guess it first kind of showed up in February. I just did this low-key half marathon, ended up just, it felt like I'd strained like my adductor or my groin, something like that. But it just kept lingering on for 2 months, and the pain was really transient. It'd go from my groin to my low abs to like your glute. And it was just an unusual injury that I thought I had a handle on it. But then one day it just turned into like sharp pain in my low back. And I got an MRI, and it was a pretty severe sacral stress fracture. Like they have grades to them. And so this was like a grade 4.
So our audience can visualize it. It's effectively like your pelvis almost cracks. Is that right?
Yeah. Like if you got in like a big accident, like you'll actually break your pelvis, and that's like a severe injury where you have to go to the hospital. Mine's like a stress fracture, so it's like a crack was inside of it, but you couldn't even see it on an x-ray. That's the weird part. Like I got an x-ray and it shows nothing, but the doctor says you're gonna see this on the MRI. It will not show up on the x-ray.
One of the great things and also the terrible things about sports is that we all deal with these like really difficult moments where we question everything. You being 27, coming off of the most successful start to an ultra running career, like I just mentioned, that's pretty severe contrast of experiences. How do you psychologically, emotionally deal with being brought down to earth so quickly and so severely?
Oh, it was really hard not to be negative. I think when I got the MRI results, like, I was so devastated, you know, like, I just sat in my car and cried. But then, at the same time, I was like, okay, well, now I know why I've been in pain for 2 months. Like, there must be a path forward. And I think, for the psychological aspect, like, I was able to move on from it quickly because I have this great PT. His name's Rich, lives in Missoula. He was on the free trail video we made. But I think what he did a really good job of was making this, like, really clear path through this. And so what I think is kind of a confusing injury to me, it had like a path forward, and I just put all my trust in him. Like I coach myself, but when I got this injury, essentially my PT was coaching me for 6 months. And that was, I don't know, I felt like I'd be able to get through it since he's such a smart guy.
I want to come back and talk about that here in a sec, but one of the things that comes up into my mind as like an analogy to what you're going through is like a dynasty and a team sport, like the Golden State Warriors, for example, or the New England Patriots, right? Like you're on this heater, success begets success, and it feels like eventually like you have everything figured out. And it's sort of in those moments that the universe lets you know that you don't have everything figured out. So maybe just sharing with the audience here, what like the most salient lessons were from this hard moment in your career before we start talking about the comeback?
Yeah, it's so true though, because I feel like, yeah, you get on this heater and you start getting confidence. And I remember like having this crazy confidence of like, it just felt like I could do anything in running all of a sudden. And I don't know, like it wasn't like I was being really cocky or anything like that, but it's crazy how that happens. You're just on this like super high, and then life comes at you pretty fast. No, but I think the things I've learned from this injury, I give a lot more respect to recovery. I do take one day off fully per week, and I've just tried to, I mean, try to eat a lot more. I think a lot of this injury was related to overdoing it and just burning too many calories every day, and So nutrition's been a huge thing, and then just that day off. So I think those are my two lessons that I took away.
And how simple, right?
Yeah, it made it
even
simple,
Adam Peterman takes rest days. Come on. Lay on the couch every once in a while. Have an extra pizza. One thing I wanted to ask you about is, like, coming back to the video, every self-respecting trail town has, like, a local test piece, right? Marin County's got Mount Tam. Boulder's got Bear Peak, Green Mountain. Auburn's got K2, the training hill here. Missoula has Sentinel. Talk about Sentinel, the significance to the local trail running community, where you live, and maybe how it's helped you develop as an athlete.
So Sentinel, Mount Sentinel, is just on the east end of town, but it's kind of the edge of Missoula. It has a big M on it for University of Montana. But yeah, there's a race that goes on called the Mount Sentinel Hill Climb, and it gains about just under 2,000 feet in a mile and a half. And that race has been going on for like 30 years. Like, I did it when I was a kid. You know, I did it in like ninth grade. But anyway, that's always been a significant
in five fingers.
Yeah, it was before I was with Hoka and I was wearing Vibram five fingers.
Yeah, that was of blue, the era. Yeah,
blue camo Vibram five fingers that I wore to school.
Posted on the internet. Keep going. Sorry.
So anyway, Mount Sentinel's always been this like great place to run trail. Like, there's all these trails on the backside. It's really pretty back there. But also at the same time, like, this great test piece for a trail runner or anyone trying to test their fitness. When I started trail running in 2019, Jim Walmsley had the course record or fastest time up Sentinel, and he was like the only dude who'd ever gone sub 20. And I remember all the people in the community were always talking about it. So I gave it a shot one day and I did like 20. I was 20 seconds short. And I was like, man, I know I can go faster. And so I did it about a month later, and I had a way better day that day. I went about 1850, 1845. And I think Sentinel, to me, because I beat his time, and I think it was Jim in 2016, so, you know, pretty fit dude, it gave me a lot of confidence, you know? I'm like, hey, if he did it, maybe I can achieve some of these things Jim did. But now my best time has been defeated by an Olympic cyclist, so not even a runner. So
Howard Grotz, shout out
Howard Grotz. Yeah,
you got to go take it back. Yeah, Jim owns the hill climb on Mount Tam, we got to get somebody from our local community.
Get Howard on it.
So I wanted to talk about Sentinel to sort of bring it back to this workout, because something dawned on me after we saw each other a few weeks ago. So if you haven't seen the video, the workout that Adam does is a time trial at Mount Sentinel. You ran about 19:30 that day again. One of the only people ever to go under 20 minutes. And you say, when I can go under 20, I know I'm fit and ready. But I always end my podcast with the, like, what or who is one person you admire question. And it reminded me that when you were on my show, your answer was Kilian Jornet. And these uphill and flat workouts, the Sentinel flat workout, like the one we documented, was sort of popularized by Kilian. You're famously self-coached. You talked about Mike Foote being an influence to you. I'm sure there's others, but maybe talk about your admiration for Kilian and how that workout maybe was influenced by what he does.
Yeah, I think we all know, in I guess it was 2022, Kilian did, he won Zagama in the course record. He won Hard Rock. Then he did Sierra Zanal, but he was sick, but still finished fifth, and then won UTMB. And it was just like the craziest season I feel like we've ever seen in trail running until Courtney this last year, I'd say. But he shared all of his training in some like Microsoft Excel spreadsheet on a webpage. And so I just dove way into that after he did that. And these uphill flat workouts, he said, were a key workout he was doing to prepare for doing long races and short races. So I pretty much just took a page out of his book. I know he does like more stuff with kilometers, the European way. So I just decided to do Sentinel, which is our like local mountain, and then run down and do like mile repeats or a tempo run or something like that. And I totally just copied him, and it's a great workout. I mean, I did probably four or five of them before Worlds in 2022. I was doing those every week. And then this sequence, I did two of them, And then this last week I did like a shorter sentinel workout, but it's always been, it's been a great workout to add into the mix.
So cool. I mean, to me, the reason I think it's remarkable is the fact that you are still self-coached and still self-guided in your training. And just thinking about the other great athletes in our sport, like for example, Jim, Courtney are the same way. Mm-hmm. Killian, self-coached also. And so I don't know, it feels to me like when you're bouncing back from this severe injury, you can go one of two directions. Use this as an opportunity to engage more help like you did with Rich Willie, who you talked about. But also it would maybe be a good time for you to offload that work for yourself. I just re-engaged a coach myself and I'm so glad that I did. So I'm sure people would love to hear you just talk about the process that you use to come up with your own training as a self-guided athlete. You talked about the influences. But getting a little bit more granular, like we saw your journal at your house. Yeah, I should be doing it with my left hand. Adam's left-handed.
Oh, yes.
He's writing in his journal to create your own training plan. So anything you want to say about the process that you apply to creating, visualizing your training block, especially leading up to a race like this?
Yeah, I guess I ever since college, I was just writing my own training. And I really liked it. I feel like I had great coaches in high school, great coaches in college. And then the cool thing about like a lot of trail runners now is most of their activities are shared on Strava, or like in Killian's case, he posted it all on that webpage. And so you really can learn a lot from these people. And I'm not saying I'm just like doing everything right, but I think it has been interesting to kind of like paw my way through it and find out what style of training works for me, how many workouts I need to do, how many long runs I need to do. And over the years, I've gotten a lot more specific with it. You know, in 2021, I was kind of just running with my friends and adding more structure as these races got closer. But yeah, now it's like if we talk about specifically canyons, I was following a return to run from my PT from September to November. And then in November, one day I sat down at a coffee shop and wrote down like, how do I get to canyons while staying on this return to run path, but still getting in 6 weeks at volume? And that was my goal. And so that's what I followed. And I've been following that same training program since November. But that's pretty unusual. I don't usually go like that far out. But I felt like in terms of this injury and not overdoing it, I just stuck to this plan for the last, four or 5.5 months.
So 6 weeks at volume is all you've had?
I'd say like 6 weeks at high volume, like what I used to do. Like before Worlds, I did 6 weeks of between 95 and 100 miles a week. So I consider that like high volume. So now in this block, I've had, 6 weeks like between 85 and 95 miles a week. Now that I take a day off, I kind of have to factor that in too. Yeah. But the buildup before that, I was still running and hiking a lot, but it wasn't what I'd consider like high volume.
Your teammate Hayden Hawks is sitting over there. We just did a live show over in our studio and I asked him to say a few words about you, friend and teammate. Of course, you guys finished first and second at Western States a couple of years ago and your stories kind of overlap, you know, Hayden coming back from knee surgery, you coming back from your stress fracture. He shared that you guys had said a few words or at least communicated a little bit. I don't know if there's anything you want to say about, you know, other people in the sport that you've leaned on or, you know, advice that you've sought from people in the professional ranks?
Well, yeah, like I mentioned earlier, taking a day off fully per week is like pretty new thing for me and something I haven't done it ever, like even since high school, you know, I'd usually go mountain biking or do something on a rest day. But it was definitely encouraging having Hayden, like come back from his knee surgery so well. And like he's been a guy who always runs 6 days a week and just crushes it. So that was definitely confidence building for me. And yeah, I know we definitely texted a lot over the summer because both of us were kind of going through it at the same time. But yeah, I guess his return to run was a little bit before mine, but I saw how smoothly his went in the fall and that was helpful to see.
And then he laced one at Black Canyon.
Yes, yes.
And you're both fully healthy now. Well, you know, some question marks, but you know, it's the sport is better off when people like you and Hayden are ready to rip. And it feels like things came around at the perfect time. 6 weeks is sort of abbreviated. You are going against a murderer's row of fantastic professional athletes this weekend. What are sort of the quantifiable and and more like qualitative things that you're listening to, whether it's training data, like going sub 20 on Sentinel, and like what, maybe what are some of like the more subtle sensation based things that give you the confidence you're ready again?
Yeah, I feel like trail's funny and training for these ultras is funny because you don't have like a metric, you know, you're not like ripping quarters on the track or doing like a 5K race where you have a time. I mean, we did have that Sentinel flat workout, which was a great litmus test, as you said, on the YouTube channel. But at the same time, like that 20-minute effort isn't what Canyon's 100K is going to be. So I feel like I've gotten there aerobically since I did run that sub 20 on Sentinel. But I feel like for me in trail, if you're running like a 3-hour run and you're doing like a couple of those a week and you finish them and you're like not even tired, that's when I start to feel like you get confidence. And you know, I usually run a lot of the same trails, so you know the type of pace that you run when you're fit. But I'd say that's the main thing is you finish, you know, you're on like mile 20 of your run and you feel great, I think. And I've had a few of those going into this, which is awesome. I think last year at this time, I was just approaching this injury and getting so worn out and so overtrained that I didn't have many of those days. So it's been cool to feel good. But at the same time, you never know. Like it's 100K. I don't know what's going to happen. But that's like why it's so fun too.
So a few days after we visited you in Montana, you had your rip the Band-Aid off racing experience down in Utah. Yep. At Antelope Island. Say a few words about that race, how it was a springboard back towards Canyons.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, I guess we worked out on Tuesday and then Friday was it's called the Buffalo Run, Antelope Island 50K. And they have a bunch of other races too. I know you have the course record at the 50 mile.
Not to brag, 2011.
Yep. But yeah, so that race I signed up because it was low key. I just wanted to like put a mark on the board. But I actually ended up running with this younger guy who's new to trail. And he was, oh man, he was like turning the screws on me for like 15 miles. And you know, he's pretty new to it. So I think he's still figuring out the nutrition game. Because at mile 20, he bonked and then disappeared. But yeah, I was a little worried, honestly, on that first lap. But it was great. Like, it was 33 miles. It only had 3,000 feet of climbing, so pretty flat. But I think all in all, averaged sub 620 per mile. So I was happy. It was, much faster than I thought it would be.
So more confidence and validation that you're on the right path.
For sure. Yeah. And it was just cool to be, you know, like, doing an ultra finally, because that was the first ultra I'd run since Worlds in Thailand. Yeah.
What a relief, right?
Yeah. And to come out healthy, you know, just take a couple days off and then get back into training and have things be okay.
Awesome. A couple more questions before we open up to the audience. I wanted you to say a few words about Aaron, who's also going to be racing this weekend. Aaron in the audience here, one of the favorites in the 100K on the women's side. It's a different experience. I mean, being a pro athlete, like you really do lean on your partner a lot for support, you know, to pick you up when you're down, to tell you that you're not totally out of shape when you feel like you are, or you're behind the eight ball. Have you guys been able to support each other? And what's it like, practically speaking, to both be targeting the same big race, both with your own individual goals, but wanting each other to succeed?
That's pretty cool. Like Aaron and I ran together in college, but she was way better than me, so she got to do a lot more experiences than I did. But we were talking, and I don't think we've run a race together since we ran the Moab Trail Marathon together in 2020. And you know, that's just, it was competitive, but it's not the same as this big race. But it's pretty cool. Like, I feel like we've shared quite a few runs in the last few weeks where we're like talking strategy, and you can tell like we're both really excited about it. But at the same time, like last year, she qualified for Worlds in Innsbruck, but had to pull out because of an Achilles injury. And that was around the same time my sacral stress fracture happened. And like both of us were just recovering from these injuries. And it was sad, you know, like we had these big goals and they kind of got flattened. So it's cool to see like both of us finally made it to the start line after a year.
Say a few more words about that, because, yeah, I guess it wasn't fully obvious to me that you guys were going through the injury at the same time too. And yeah, Aaron having to give up on that goal of competing at the World Championships after winning the qualifier, mm-hmm. You wanting to go back to Western States as the defending champion, both of those goals evaporating in front of both of you. Yeah. I'm sure it was difficult to go through those times together.
Oh yeah, it was tough because I think hers happened first. You know, she ran Sonoma, qualified for Worlds, and then that race kind of blew up her Achilles, and she had to decide. And I think that was the hardest part, was like the deciding whether to do Worlds or not. Mine, like, the decision was made for me. Like, I wasn't going to run through this thing. But I think at first she was really miserable, and then my injury happened, and she was like, oh, okay, it's not as bad as his. But we both started seeing, like, progress come June and July. But oh, it was a bummer. Like, I think we just ended up doing a lot of just different stuff. You know, we'd go drive and go fishing and try to just put our mind to other things.
And then build momentum together.
And then start to build momentum, yeah,
that's
in July.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You can share both the burden and the joy together. Maybe final question before we open it up to the Q&A. You sort of mentioned this at the beginning, but I'd love to hear you talk about how you deal with pressure, you know, because like you did come onto the scene so quickly. We made a movie about you that was released this week. We're here recording a podcast. I'm actually wearing a shirt with your face on it right now. I should have taken this off.
Oh, God.
Getting comfortable in the box, Adam Peterman.
These are unbelievable. Thanks, so Chris Hollis.
I could see how it'd be like, man, this has been my dream as an athlete, as a pro athlete, to like really be established, to have people know who I am, to win the biggest races in the world. But I could also see it being overwhelming. So maybe how do you deal with pressure personally?
Yeah, I think it's something I'm learning more and more because this is kind of new for me. You know, like when I went to Western States, I don't think I was anyone's or not many people's pick to be the favorite. And then Worlds in Thailand, I was, but at the same time, like it was really far away. And I don't think a lot of people like knew who I was or what. So, but I don't know. I feel like the trail community is so cool. Everyone's like so supportive and stoked on it. Like I even think back to being at Western States last year. I wasn't running. I was injured, but you know, that was a tough time for me. I wasn't able to run, and I was questioning if I'd actually be able to make it back to that level. And all these other people that are my competitors were the ones like bringing me up the most. And I feel like that's just the coolest part for sure.
So awesome. Are you feeling pressure this weekend?
I do, but at the same time, it's like this first race back. And so I know how I handle under a lot of personal pressure. I put a lot of pressure on myself. And if it's too much, that's just self-destructive. So I've found as I've gotten older to, you know, not put too much pressure on myself because I run the best when I don't feel that way.
As you've gotten older, you're 28, buddy. Adam, thank you so much for sitting with us. Let's open it up to an audience Q&A here. If you have any questions for Adam, we'll take a few minutes here. Any questions for Adam? You got a great champion here. It's maybe a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to pose a sophisticated, complex question to Adam Peterman. Right here. 1 sec. She's asking, do you ever get nervous about anything anymore?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I feel like every race you're pretty nervous for. I hate being nervous, but I think it's just part of the territory. And, you know, we get to compete so infrequently. It's like 3 or 4 times a year at these big races at the most. I feel like that's not a bad price to pay just to be nervous for a few days. But like I said, in college, I specifically remember getting so nervous for these races that it was almost like destructive for my race. And so now that I remember that, for me, it's not great for me to get too nervous. And ultra is nice too. I mean, we're going to have a long time to figure this thing out on Saturday, whether it's 8 hours or 10. It's going to take 60 miles. So that is one thing I like better about this too.
More questions for Adam. Let's get one more. Rye, you got a question for him? Ryan's getting ready for Western States. Any tips for heat training was the question.
Oh, yeah. For heat training, I did, before Western States, I lived in Mesa for about a month, or not a month, that would be brutal. I lived in Mesa for about a week in Arizona, and so I would just run every day when it was like 95 or 100 degrees. But I feel like the key was I'd never used an ice bandana or like any type of cooling strategy. And
I think you got to practice that. That's important. But you also have to get hot. You got to know how you react to getting really hot. So, yeah, if you have to heat train, I would say do it, whether it's sauna a lot or go somewhere that's hot or even wear all your clothes like Rocky Balboa style. That works surprisingly well.
Wasn't it your grandma's house in Mesa, Arizona?
Yeah, I was living with my grandma for about a week. Yeah, at the retirement community.
You got to give... You got to let the cougar live in that retirement community for a week at some point. Yeah. Another question here. The question is, heat mixed with caffeine, do you feel like there's a positive or negative implication of combining the two?
I haven't had any problems with caffeine and heat, but more like how much you're actually able to eat, you know? I feel like if it's not hot, you can shoot for these targets, you know, 300 or 400 calories an hour. But then when it's hot, you like have to dial it back a ton. I found I could usually like say when it wasn't hot, I could shoot for, 400 calories an hour during these races. And then if it's hot, you'd have to way dial it back to like 200 or less. You kind of have to just go by feel. But yeah, I haven't had any problems with the caffeine, but totally could be.
Say more about caffeine, though, because in the movie, you say, I got to hit the caffeine because when I sprint up Sentinel, sometimes it's hard to stay motivated for the threshold mile repeat. So how are you using caffeine practically in your training?
Oh, yeah, I was kind of joking in the video about that. But yeah, it's hard to stay focused just pinning it up Sentinel for 20 minutes. So that was good. But no, I'll use some caffeinated gels from NAC on Saturday. They don't have a ton of caffeine. It's like 35 milligrams, but I'll probably be taking one of those every couple hours. But I haven't really focused on how much caffeine I actually take, but usually end up having some, whether it's in gels or some sort of drink mix.
I always carry the emergency caffeinated gel. That's a veteran trick. Any other final questions for Adam Peterman? Going once, going twice. Big round of applause for Adam Peterman. His return to the Canyons 100K where he won back in 2022. As we close here, quick reminder, tomorrow morning we're going to do a shakeout run with Hoka. I think we're starting from here at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. We are doing our final prediction show on the Free Trail YouTube channel at 11 a.m. tomorrow. So if you're bored, laying in bed, trying to stay... You know, get your mind off the race. Well, your mind will be on the race if you watch our show. But if you want to be entertained and watch a few of us make our bold predictions before race weekend, you can tune into that on the Free Trail YouTube channel. Finally, a big thank you to Hoka for making all of our coverage here this weekend possible. And to everybody racing, good luck. I hope you enjoy it. We'll see you out on the course. Peace out.